make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
There is an actual new drug that it has been used in a lab in animals for treating Ebola, and it was developed by Sarepta Therapeutics. It is an antiviral medication. And my next guest, Patrick Iverson, who's a professor in the College of Agricultural Sciences at Oregon State University. He's also former senior vice president of Sarepta Therapeutics and is going to talk to us a little bit today about that medicine and how we go about getting that medicine approved and paid for and delivered throughout the world. Patrick, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Real quickly, just tell us the name of the medicine we're talking about.
At this point, the drug's name is AVI-7537.
Very catchy. I like
complicated
that.
Complicated name, yeah.
Has anybody thought about a nicer name? Or how does that, is that decided by marketers, or do you guys get to actually pick the name?
Usually when a drug enters late, advanced stage, it gets a different name. This is sort of a laboratory name for the drug. Once it's entered people and is in its development pathway, it will get a new name, which has certain conventions for how they're named. It turns out that all antisense drugs have an ending, which is RSEN.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll have a name like that. It turns out there's a drug made by Sarepta for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and it's called Eteplirsen.
And is that on the market?
No, it's in very late stage development. You know, I think Sarepta will submit their final license application, I think, first half of next year.
Is that considered an orphan drug since it's such a rare, for such a rare condition, that it might get a quicker response?
Yes, it's actually an ultra-orphan indication.
Ultra-orphan.
So there are some, orphan, I think, is less than 200,000 people per year, and an ultra-orphan would be, I think, less than 20,000, something like that.
So how did Sarepta decide to go after these conditions? Do they go after the condition first, or do they develop the agent and see where the agent is useful? How does that work, the chicken or the egg first?
Well, I think we always were exploring where would this technology best fit. And because it's more complicated to make, it's basically like synthesizing DNA, and these would be like 20 base segments of DNA. So it's a bit more expensive than a small molecule, and so you have to pick conditions where the benefit would also mean that there's a financial benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to pick indications where the cost of manufacturing could be accommodated. And viral infections are attractive, or certainly acute viral infections are attractive because they're short in duration, so you don't have to treat for very long. And that means the manufacturing burden is relatively small, and so the cost is less of a concern. And in the case of a lot of viral targets, the small molecules really don't have access to some targets. We call them non-druggable targets, whereas if you target the RNA of the virus, there's always a target. And so those combinations, in the case of the Duchenne molecule, that molecule does something very interesting. It actually induces the maturation of the mRNA to skip an exon and brings the gene back into reading frame. So you make a functional protein, which is kind of a bit exotic as far as things go. Very, very impressive data, though.
So what causes Duchenne's? I assume, by the way you're talking, there is a virus that causes it.
Actually, no. There's a gene. No. It turns out it's the largest gene in the human genome called dystrophin. And about two-thirds of the cases involve deletions of part of that gene. And so when you do that, two-thirds of the time, the gene is out of its reading frame, which means it won't make a complete functional protein. So what Sarepta found and what I worked on was to use a synthetic piece of DNA to to mask the recognition of the exon and force the gene back into a reading frame that was acceptable, and that makes a protein that actually is functional.
So I'd like to go back to the Ebola treatment you have. How does it differ from the other medications that are being used out there? Is it completely different, or is it working in the same way? Take me through the differences.
Right. So there are a number of different compounds. Some were designed explicitly for Ebola. That would include a compound made by a company called Tecmira, which uses an siRNA approach but targets three different parts of the Ebola virus. And one of them is very similar to ours, targeting VP24. The other drugs are more in the area of small molecules that block the virus's ability to replicate, the polymerase. They're nucleoside analogs, so they look a little bit like the building blocks that the cell uses to replicate the virus, and then it just is odd enough in structure that the polymerase is inactive or can't complete the task for the virus. Our drug, the 7537 compound, targets the messenger RNA of a gene called VP24 that prevents the synthesis of that specific protein, and therefore the virus is deficient in that protein. And what we found is that when they're deficient in that protein, the virus doesn't replicate as well. We can protect tissues in the body, like the kidney and the liver, from damage caused by the virus, and that it allows the immune response to recover. It turns out the viruses are quite covert in their ability to enter a cell, and then they put out various products that retard the immune response to the virus, which gives the virus an advantage. And so by blocking this particular protein, we've restored the host's immune response, in many aspects at least, so that it can now clear the virus from the body. And if we found that if we just give the immune system a chance, it will actually clear this virus, and the patient will get better, and then they'll essentially be immune to that virus forever.
Pat, I imagine there's been an influx of money into your company. I don't know that to be true, but to get things moving along, how far away from getting this to market are you? Are you years away? How many more stages have to be done?
We've been planning an approval pathway down the animal rule pathway through the Food and Drug Administration. And for that, we really are only lacking some very key experiments, but they are somewhat costly. So I think the duration would take us a couple more years of clinical studies, enhancing our safety database, and a few more studies in non-human primates. The other path, which if we were to be able to treat enough patients under adequately clinically controlled conditions, meaning we do a careful clinical study in infected people, it could be much faster because we would actually be able to determine the efficacy in an infected patient, which obviously is the best way to measure the drug's efficacy.
Pat, we have about a minute left. What would you like to see in the world of treating emerging infectious diseases? How would you like to see that get paid for? Do you think governments should fund it, or just private industry?
Well, I think it should be, as I think it is, a government-private industry cooperative effort. I don't think the government is very well suited for the sort of capitalism required to make a high-quality product. But there really isn't a business model to drive private industry to do it by themselves. So I think it should be a partnership. I do think that there are and will be monies available. I think we need to build a technology that would be good for all emerging infectious diseases.
Thank you. On that note, Pat Iverson from Sarepta Therapeutics was our guest. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.